Chapter 12, Genesis. God meets a man. His name's Abram. Hasn't even been changed to Abraham yet. But in that moment, not chronicled by calendars or time, in that moment when God meets Abram and offers him the promise that he and all of his descendants would be the vessel, would be the channel through which all the families of the earth would be blessed, God had you and me in mind. Abraham hears the word of God. I'll be with you. I'll give you this land. I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars. And I will use you to bless all of the families of the earth. Not some. Not just the Hebrew families, not just his personal descendants, but all of the families of the earth, Abram, through you will be blessed. And God doesn't stop there. He starts with Abraham, but then just a few chapters later, God says the same thing in Genesis to Isaac. He says to Isaac, I'm going to make real the promise I made to your father Abram. I'm going to make real, and through you, Isaac, through you, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. And God doesn't stop there. The third generation, yet another progenitor in the line that began in Abraham. God meets Jacob in the midst of a dream. Angels are rising and descending. And God says to Jacob, hear this word. I won't leave you until I have it finished. I won't desert you. I'm with you. And through you and your descendants, all, not some, all will be blessed. And blessing in this Hebrew content means the giving and receiving of good from a source that intends good. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm going to use your descendants to give and receive good from your heart, from my heart. I'm going to bless from this source of eternal goodness through you all of the families of the earth. But I have a problem. When God comes to Abram and tells him, I'm going to use you to bless you, four chapters later, Abram does not believe God's going to make good on the promise. Four chapters later, after hearing, I will use you to bless, four chapters later, Abram decides that he really can't have a child through Sarah, and so that Hagar thing happens. And a mess begins. And Abram's not the only one who seems a little unworthy to carry this promise. When God speaks to Isaac in chapter 26, it's verses 1, 2, and 3. In chapter 26, in verse 7, four verses later, here's what Isaac does. He says to his wife, Rebekah, you are so pretty. When we go into Gerar, they're going to kill me to take you, so lie. Tell them you're my sister. God has just said to Isaac, I will keep you. I will do this. And Isaac so distrusts God, he tells Rebekah to lie. And Jacob may be the worst of the lot. For you see, when Jacob hears that promise from God, Jacob is on the run, having stolen his brother's birthright and blessing. Jacob is a refuge from Esau's anger when he hears God's promise. Wasn't there another family you could have picked, God? Wasn't there another clan that was a little more worthy, a little less prone to lying, a little less prone to scheming? This group to me looks wholly unworthy. They don't believe God. They're not obedient to God. And they actively move into places of sin. Wasn't there anybody else? Why did God choose Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to be the source of blessing, the source of goodness to all of the families of the earth? Well, I don't know why God chose them, but I do know what I take from that choice. For you see, that letter that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia says to you and to me that we are heirs according to the promise. Not only the promise that God would be with us, but you and I are heirs according to the promise. That means it is up to you and to me to continue this legacy and to be the blessing to all of the families of the earth. That promise did not end in Jacob. That promise did not end in Jacob's 12 sons and daughters. That promise extends, and it is up to you and to me to be the ones, the source, the goodness, the place where God may channel God's love so that it may move out into the world. That's our job assignment. That's our task. That you and I are called to be blessing. And it's not an option. God did not say, I will give you, Abraham, a choice if you want this. God did not say, Isaac and Jacob, you have other things you might do. No, the fundamental promise, the fundamental assignment, the first thing God says is, I call you out, I choose you. I choose you not to be high and lifted up. I choose you to be my hands and my feet. I choose you to be the source and the channel through which my love and my blessings flow out into the world. How? When we look around us and we see a world that is fractured, when we look around us, and this morning in Sunday school, we thought together about what were the needs that we saw in our world. And we talked about creating spaces of loving community. We talked about creating spaces where people are not hungry. We talked about the reduction of violence. We talked about being in a place where people knew their agency and they knew that they were responsible for their part of the world and that they would stand up and be willing to bring their strength to bear on whatever the circumstances were. We talked about these issues and you could feel the energy in the room that we saw the needs, but we didn't know how to make them real. We saw the needs, but we didn't know what we could do as one little Sunday school class or one little church. And yet I knew that this call, that we were called to be blessing, was significant and a part of who we are. How? How do we live into this space? Well, beloved, we've been talking for the last 3 weeks about our identity as children of God. And if you grew up in a house with good parents, if you grew up in a house with loving parents, and they gave you an assignment as a child, they knew that they were going to stand there with you and help equip you to achieve that assignment. If your parents were teaching you how to be responsible and teaching you how to step into your fullness and gave you a challenge so that you might learn this lesson, you could bet good parents were standing in the offing with all that you needed to give you so that you could be a success. It's no different with the God of all creation who loves us and who calls us and who gave us this assignment. God would not have given the assignment to Abraham or Jacob or Isaac if God were not willing to make it whole. And you know why God may have chosen them? In their sinfulness, in their brokenness, in their disobedience. Maybe God chose them in that state so that they would know the need of blessing. When Jacob got in trouble with Esau, you bet he cried out for blessing. When Hagar and Sarah were fighting in Abraham's face, you bet he called out for blessing. And when Isaac was in the midst of worrying about his life and Rebekah's beauty, he called out for blessing. Maybe God chooses you and me in our brokenness, because in our brokenness, we've had to say, God, I need your blessing. Maybe God calls us to be the channel of blessing in our brokenness, because in that state we say, God, when you bless me, I'm able to step forward. As you bless me, I grow stronger. And when the blessing has come down and we have grown stronger and we've grown more able, we look back over our lives and say, had it not been for God's blessing, and go forward. Maybe God chooses us because when we've known the benefit of blessing, we are more willing to extend it to another. Our world is in need of hearts and of souls and of minds who understand the power and the bounty and the gift of blessing. Our world is in need of children of God who've been equipped by God to hear this call to be a blessing to all the families of the earth and be willing to go out to do it. And if our identity as children of God and our call as children of God is to be a blessing, then the strategic plan, the way we do it, is through love. It is no mistake that the Gospels tell us over and over that the greatest commandment is to love. It is our channel. It is our way that we love even when our heart is broken, that we love even when we have no place to stand, that we love when we do not understand what is going on around us, that we love in our action, that we love in our prayer, that we love in our being. And beloved, it is not easy now to be a vessel of love. In our time and in our nation and in our world, it's so much easier to be a vessel of judgment or a vessel of condemnation or a vessel of complaint. It is so much easier to be a vessel of hopelessness or a vessel of that's not my problem, I am backing away. But you are a child of God and you are called to be blessing. We are called to be vessels first of love. What might that look like? What would happen if we filled our mouths with, I don't understand, but I'm called to love? What would happen if we filled our souls with, this looks to me like sin and wrong, but I'm called to love? What would happen if we read the paper or watched the news and said, I don't understand why there are riots in the street. I don't understand why there is so much violence. I don't understand, but I am determined to pray God's love and God's presence in the midst of that place. And when in our lives we are confronted with the negative, we say, that may be your way of seeing, but as a child of God, my primary identity, I'm called to seek the way to love. We do so in this place. We seek to bless the world through love by baking cookies or by giving our money to our mission committee and having them send it out. We seek to bless the world with love by the Benevolent Sunday. But beloved, it has to be intentional. We have to make up in our minds that we are going to be vessels of love and pour that out first. For we are called to be a blessing to the whole world. When you leave in a few minutes, I'm going to hand you a magnet. I know some don't have magnetized surfaces, but it's this map. I've printed this map on a magnet. And at the very top of it, it says, I'm a child of God, a child of Abraham. I'm called to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And at the bottom, it says, Lord, may I pray, make me a blessing. Every day, beloved of God, as a child of God, it is our task to say, Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing locally. Make me a blessing far away. Just fill me and make me a blessing. For I am your child, and that is your call on my life. Make me a blessing is a courageous statement. Make me the channel through which your good comes is a hopeful statement. Our closing hymn has us sing it, but the question is, will we be it? For our world is in need of God's sons and God's daughters who will stand up and say, out on the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Make me a blessing. If you will, every eye closed. God, we watch our world and we wonder, where are you? We watch our world and we wonder what we can do. But I hear in your sacred word that you are present in the world every place your children are present. You are present and you are powerful through the channel of your children. Remind us that we exist in the divine heart and the divine mind to be a blessing. Remind us that there is no blessing too large, no blessing too small. And may we rise each day aware that the world is in need of the love of your divine heart channeled through us, so that the hymn we are about to sing becomes something that rises up off the page and settles in our heart. Make us a blessing. May that be our prayer, for it is our job assignment as your sons and daughters, as your children. Oh God, oh God, make us a blessing, we pray. Amen.